This is a Boomitude original podcast. On this episode, we visit with singer-songwriter Colin Hay.
No time to live, no time to die, no time to sit and wonder why. No time for you, no time for I, no time to watch the world go by. And I got no time for sorrow.
From the age of 5 until I was 14, my mother and father had a music shop in Scotland. It was very pop-oriented, you know. I liked the people that... really obvious things like the Beatles and the Kinks and the Rolling Stones and the Who and, you know, all those kinds of British beat bands. And then my brother, my older brother, who's 4 years older than I was, he introduced me to black music. He played me Booker T and the MGs and Wilson Pickett and Otis Redding and so forth. And so that was frightening music to me. You know, it was just like, wow, it was shocking. You know, it was kind of very, very different. When I was 14, when I arrived in Australia, I started playing acoustic music in folk clubs. James Taylor was somebody. When I heard that first album, Sweet Baby James, that was, I tried to learn all those songs, and Cat Stevens, Tea for the Tillerman, that album, and probably still always the Beatles were the band that I really kept on coming back to, you know. And I loved bands like Traffic and, you know, Steve Winwood and you know, Pink Floyd and all those kinds of bands, and I loved John Martin. And I mean, I liked Nick Drake as well, but I mean, Nick Drake was kind of somebody that was, I kind of got onto after John Martin in a way, but John Martin was somebody that I just thought, oh, that's, you know, specific songs and just the way he played acoustic guitar and with delays and so forth was somebody that I was kind of captivated with.
Don't go out in the night, even though you know the town. Someone always wants to fight. You end up lying on the ground. I dream of lying in the sun. In my ears, hear the ocean roaring. Like all good wayfaring sons.
But I've had the same approach, I think, ever since I started, and that is that I just play the acoustic guitar and try and come up with ideas, and either with standard tunings or alternate tunings, and try and come up with different lyrical ideas. Musical ideas are usually relatively easy because you're just messing around and you get some kind of chord or pattern that you like. Lyrical ideas are sometimes a bit more difficult. Although lately I've been going the other way around and coming up with lyrical ideas and trying to go the other way. I mean, hopefully your songwriting gets better. It's like with anything, if you're a cabinet maker or whatever, you know, hopefully you get that dovetail just a wee bit better as you get older, you know. And I'd like to think that the songs get better. I mean, that's not true of a lot of people, because I think it's to do with time, and it's to do with certain situations. It's to do with how old you are, you know. I think there's periods in your life where you go through this real kind of potent stage, you know. I don't really know how old you have to be. It's probably different for everybody, but for me, when the band formed and I kind of seemed to hit this creative little strain of gold in there, where I thought, oh, you know, I'll mine this for as long as I can, it just seemed that the songs came thick and fast for quite a while, and I had an immediate vehicle to play those songs with the band. And that's when a lot of the songs like Overkill and It's a Mistake came with that band, and the songs to me seemed to get better. And I remember Overkill was kind of a turning point where I thought, well, I quite liked that song, and I thought, well, I felt like I was getting somewhere, you know, as a songwriter. And I thought, well, if the band doesn't last, well, I'll maybe just be able to make a living as a songwriter.
I can get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations I know will be all right. perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day it reappears.
I never think in terms of albums, really. I just think in terms of songs, and I do this song, and then I do this song, and then I do this song, and then I end up having an album's worth of material. And then at the end of that, there's usually something that people go, "Oh, you're singing about the sea," or "You're singing about this or that." And it's not something that's conscious, though. Although the last record, American Sunshine, I kept on thinking about. It's more the mythology versus your actual reality or geographical situation. Like I've spent a lot of my life going from from Scotland to Australia, which was kind of like gigantic, really, in my life. When I think about going to the other side of the world when you're 14, and you don't sort of think about it then so much, but like retrospectively, it's like a huge thing that you do, and then. You know, what happened to the band? It was like, wow, you know, it was like massively kind of hugely successful and kind of mythological proportions in a way. And you go to, and then I'm in California. It's just that idea of movement and, you know, going somewhere and trying to achieve something which is where you can think, oh, you know, now I'm happy, now I've arrived. This is this, you know, there's sunshine, there's ocean, there's beauty, there's all those dreams that people go to Australia for. It's what my father did to find a new life. It's what I did going to California to, you know, I was, you know, trying to stop drinking and all these different reasons why I ended up there, you know. The guy that I wrote the first two songs with, Prison Time and Oh California, was a guy who's a real Californian, and I'm a guy called Michael Georgiadis. And finally I kind of met somebody. I've only met two or three people in my life where you think, oh, this is a connection of somebody that I can actually write songs with, where you don't have to explain anything, you don't have to talk about really that much, it's just, it's there, you know. And that's the thing you're always looking for, just that little bit of gold, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Nothing left and nothing came. Woke up this morning calling out your name. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Like dodging rocks in the pouring rain. I wanna know, are you doing well? 'Cause baby, from this distance it's hard to tell. I wanna know, did you let it go? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time.
There's a song that people seem to like these days called Waiting for My Real Life to Begin. And that's quite an old song for me, written in 1993, 1994. And I'd been working with a drummer, a guy called Tom Mooney. And he came around to my house one day and I said, "How you doing, Tom?" And he goes, "Oh, you know, Carl, I'm just waiting for my real life to begin." And I thought, well, there's a title for a song. And so I just sat, and then the song just, boom, there it was. I wrote it all out. And so I didn't have time to think about what I'm trying to convey. It's just really that idea of the fact that what we all do is we think that our lives are going to be completed somehow by something external, you know, by that lottery ticket or next week or this particular new car or this roll of the dice, whatever it is. But we very rarely realize that sometimes, you know, until it's too late, that actually it all comes from, you know, it doesn't come from without, it comes from within, and you have to, you know, create everything yourself in order to have some kind of joyful experience in this life, you know.
Any minute now, my ship is coming in. I'll keep checking the horizon, and I'll stand on the bow. The waves come crashing.
For more information on the artistry and music of Colin Hay, visit boomatude.com, compassrecords.com, and colinhay.com. This has been a Boomatude original podcast.
And you say, "Be still, my love. Open up your heart. let the light shine in. Don't you understand? I already have a plan. I'm waiting for my real life to begin.